God makes all things new, doesn't he? Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus has paid our sin debt and has given us a brand new start, where would we be?
Where would we be without what he has done for us? And if he's done it for us, shouldn't we do it for each other? The word of God tells us that there is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus then said, I have called you friend. Isn't that right? And you and I, we are friends of each other. We are friends of the Lord. And we lay down our lives. And we sacrifice our time and our energy and our giftings and our abilities, all for the sake of the kingdom of God. We bring that as an offering to God. And what we do for each other, the word of God says it's as doing it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And whatever you do in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. Isn't that right? And so the principle is, to whatever degree you do something in behalf of someone else, you are rewarded accordingly. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that awesome? That's the motivation for seeking God, for serving the Lord. It's that he is a rewarder. How many of you want to be rewarded? Hallelujah. Well, when God says that there is a day coming when we shall be recorded, we will be rewarded, and it's recorded in glory. Your name is written in the book of life. And God knows all the desires of our heart and all of the intentions of our heart. And he understands the motivations that drive us. And that is why when we're in pursuit of God, it changes everything. God changes everything. He is a transforming God. He turns darkness into light. Hallelujah. He causes evil to work for your good. Hallelujah. He enables us to overcome obstacles and challenges. And he prevents weapons from having its cause and effect upon our lives. He covers us. He manifests himself in our lives. He enables us. He strengthens us. When we are weak, he becomes strong. Hallelujah. That's transformation. He moves us from one state to another, and he energizes us. He keeps us going. Hallelujah. You think the ever-ready bunny keeps you going? Oh, no, no, no. Nothing compared to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is your energizer. Hallelujah. And he can keep you going. He keeps you going. Even when you don't feel like it. Have you ever not felt like it? Man, I'm telling you. Woo, you just feel like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, you get that quickening, right? All of a sudden, that quickening, that stirring in the Spirit of God. And he unctions us. And he causes us to come alive. And that's what we have been talking about, the change that God is working out in our lives as he energizes us. Our lives are not the same. We're different. We've been transformed. We've been made new. And God is doing a new thing in each and every one of us. God is molding us and shaping us. We're becoming more and more like Christ. Even when you don't feel like it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. But God says, get up. Let's go. And you go, oh, come on, Lord. We act like our own children when it's time to get up to go to school. But God is doing a new thing in the midst of our lives. And it's worth every effort. Every effort. And that's why he's established us in the way that we should go. And when we come into the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord is designed to be a certain way. It has a purpose. And the purpose of the house of the Lord is to cultivate ministry, to make fishers of men, to help us to come together in the worship of the Lord, to bring glory and honor to his name, that we would establish our households to represent the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you? He said, in his Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms, hallelujah, many condominiums, you can say. God has a lot of places, dwelling places. Those are little houses. What do you think is going to be in those houses? What do you think? You think they're going to be filled with a whole bunch of stuff? What do you think there's going to be? There's going to be a whole lot of things. You know, what's in your house? Think about your house right now. What's in your house? I know that could be scary, right? Right? Do you have a whole bunch of stuff everywhere in your house? Do you have a bunch of random things, you know, in your house? You got nice shoes and clothes and expensive things. Do you have antiques, things of value? Do you have all kinds of things in your house? Is everything where it's supposed to be? Oh, well, we have some honest people. Yeah, no. If you live with somebody else, it's pretty much guaranteed that your stuff is not where it's supposed to be. Yeah. There are some people who are just mess makers, right? Right? They just, everything has its place, and they just use it, and then they just leave it. They leave it anywhere. They walk away. That kind of stuff drives me nuts. Ah, I can't take it. When stuff is just everywhere, it's like not where it's supposed to be. Oh, it's like, oh, man, why couldn't you just put it away? Oh, you could have took 2 minutes and just rinsed or washed or scrubbed or something and just put it in the dishwasher, something, somewhere. And then the kids, right? You gotta love the kids. Woohoo! They're having a great time. They play with everything and they leave it there. And then they go play with something else and they leave that there. And then they throw stuff everywhere. Oh, and then they run off to some completely different place and start the process again. Hallelujah. That's what it's like in the house, right? And so there's this constant work to keep things in order. And isn't God doing the same thing with us? Isn't God doing the same thing with us? We're like those little children. We're like the mess makers. We're doing things that we shouldn't do, or we do things and we get into things, but we don't finish them. We don't complete them. We leave things hanging. Everything is open. But God wants to bring us into order. He wants to bring us into a place where we can have experience and life in Him, that we would become like Him. And we place value in having all of these things in our house, and they're all over the place, and everything is where it is. But what is the value of the vessel of God? You and I, we are that vessel. Did you know that you are a vessel? You are the house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What's in your vessel? What are you filled with? There's some people that are full of a lot of stuff. Isn't that right? Right? You can go out in the world and they'll tell you what you're full of, right? They can tell. Hallelujah. And they have no shame in telling you what you're full of. And I tell you, sometimes it's obvious what people are full of, and sometimes it's not so obvious. But we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? We are being transformed and we are being made new. That is what the Spirit of God is doing in us. And as God works in us, He is making us new. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask God that you would come alive, even in the midst of our hearts today, that you would ignite a fire and a passion for the cause and the sake of Christ, and that the gospel of Christ would be exported to all of the places around the earth, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth, that we would begin at home, where our homes would be a place where the Spirit of God dwells, where God would be glorified, where He would be lifted up and exalted, that we would be the vessels filled with the Spirit of God, that we would be overwhelmed with His presence, so that wherever we go, we would radiate the very atmosphere of the kingdom of God. God, use us, help us, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God is renewing our strength every day. He says in his word that we will mount up with the wings like an eagle. Isn't that right? And he says we will walk and not be weary. We will run and we won't faint. We won't give out. And that is because of the strength of the Spirit of God. He enables us to keep going. He refreshes us and he enables us. And God is wanting us to experience his presence, to experience the essence of who he is. And you and I are called to walk in the ways of the Lord. And as a result, he says, I am not going to leave you to yourself, but I'm going to pour into you. And God fills us with himself. The difference between the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believers is that the Old Testament, they had an external experience with God. And God would be with them externally, and he would use them in a powerful way. And we know of the prophets and how the Israelites were able to conquer their enemies. But when you come to the New Testament, you see that people are now filled with the Spirit. Now there is this impartation where the same Spirit, the Word of God says, that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells within us. And so even Jesus told his disciples before they went to the upper room and before he ascended into heaven, he said, it says he breathed on them and he said, be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's when your energy is renewed. Your strength is renewed. And we need God to fill us, to breathe into us. Just like Adam in the garden, it says that God breathed into him and he became a living soul. Hallelujah. Are you a living soul? Hallelujah. Do you have life in you? Do you have energizing life, life-giving life? The Ruah of God, the Pneuma of God, that which it just keeps making things alive. Everywhere you go, you ought to cause people to come alive. You ought to spark life. You ought to spark the attributes of God, love, joy, peace, patience, right? All of these things, they come alive when the Spirit of God is working in us because we are vessels that contain the very Spirit of God. And it is something that we will continually grow in as we walk with him. And God is consistently doing new things in the midst of our life. Every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. And God is progressively doing new things. God doesn't have to do the same thing over and over again because he's so vast. He's so amazing. He's so creative. He's so deep. He's so wide. He's so high. He's so low that we can't even perceive the magnitude of God. So he's got such a well of resources, he doesn't even have to do the same thing twice. He can do it different every time. Hallelujah. And sometimes people like to put God in the boxes. Well, that was, well, how do you know that wasn't God? I say, you have to wait and see what the results are. The results will tell you whether or not it's God or not. And that is what we are looking for in our lives. We are looking for God to do something in our lives that's new, that will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. God wants to do a new thing. And we see here in 2 Kings 4, the word of God tells us as Elisha, the prophet, was traveling, he came across this woman who was a wife of the sons of the prophet. And she's crying out to him. And she says, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Wow, what is going on here? And so here is a family, and as Elisha is coming through town. He's passing by, and this woman comes, and she cries out to him because she's in a crisis. Have you ever been in a crisis? Have you ever been in trouble? I mean, really been in trouble. I mean, you really need help. You really got a situation. She's facing a situation where her husband, who was a prophet of God, died, and as a result, they had no income into their household. She had nothing. And she had two sons. And these two children, it says, they were going to be taken to become slaves. And the tradition was in those days that when someone owed a debt to a creditor, if you couldn't pay your debt, you had to work it off. Someone would have to work it off. So either you would work it off, or you would have to have someone work it off in your behalf. And if you're dead, then it fell to your family. So your children were often taken because they were younger and they could work for a longer period of years. And so as a result, families would be broken up because of the debts that were owed by the parents. Could you imagine that today? Oh my goodness. If you got into so much debt that the creditors came and they said, well, we're going to take your kids and put them to work. I said, good luck. Right? Good luck with that. Yeah. I can't get them to work here either. Let's see what you can do. If you can take them and I can knock down a few bills, man, have at them. Right, but no, we can't do that. It's not, you know, I think they got laws against that kind of child labor laws, you know. Darn those child labor laws. You know. But in those days, your children could be taken. And so here is this woman of God. Here is a family that is serving the Lord. They were doing what was right before God, and they were doing what God called them to do in their lives. And as a result, they still had a debt that they did not pay and that they couldn't pay. And times were hard. Times were difficult. And so this debtor said, I'm just going to take your kids. And the Israelites, you could take a person's children and they could serve, or you could take anyone. Anyone could be taken into slavery, if you will, for the sake of paying off a debt for up to 50 years. But during the year of Jubilee, everyone was released. And so there was a time limit. But the pagans outside of Israel didn't have a time limit. They had the same principle, but there was no time limit. So you could be enslaved for your entire life. And so this woman was concerned that her children would be taken into servitude and potentially for their entire lives. And so she's crying out to the prophet. Notice she cried out. She didn't just say, can I talk to you for a minute? Oh no, she was like, Elisha! Elisha, come here, I need you. Forget it, I'm coming to you. And she runs to Elisha, she goes to him. And she explains the situation. And you know that she's upset because you see what she says. She explains how her husband was a servant of God, how she was faithful, that his testimony and his legacy was that he served the Lord, that he even feared the Lord God, and that God was with him, and he was obedient in the ways of the Lord, and so he's worthy of help. And saints of God, that is a true biblical principle. You and I, when we are servants of the Lord, God is our source of help and strength. He is our provider. And when we walk with him and we commune with him, God will make a way, even when it seems impossible, the word of God says. God is the one who helps us. And in her time of need, she came to the man of God. And Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for you?" Isn't that what Jesus asked the blind man when he was coming along the side of the road? He was crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus comes up to him. He says, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" Meanwhile, he was like, I can't see. Don't you think that would be obvious? A blind man is asking the Son of God, what can I do for you? The first thing I would say is, man, I need my sight. Isn't that right? And you would think Jesus would know, but no, Jesus wanted him to ask. And this is why it's so important for us to ask. Elisha is asking the question because he wants her to ask. And she says, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. He says, what is in your house of value? What do you have in your house? What is there that's of value? And she says, I have nothing. I have nothing in my house except a jar of oil. And the oil was made to make bread. And it was mixed with grain and flour, and they would make bread out of the oil. But more importantly, as we have talked about over these past few months, the oil represents the Spirit of God. So what she's saying, in a sense, is that I have nothing in my house except the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we know this because she was a woman of God. Her husband was a prophet. They had not a lot of stuff, but she did have the Spirit of God in her house. What's in your house, saints of God? What's in your house? Do you have a lot of trinkets? Do you have a whole lot of stuff? I hope you have a jar of oil in your house. I hope that you are the container filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. I've got several containers in my house. Hallelujah. And I'm making sure they're all filled with oil. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I love the fact that God is looking for people to pour himself into. God is looking for people that he can use for the sake of the kingdom of God. People that he can pour into and make them valuable. What is in your house? What is in your house? And sometimes you and I can only experience what God has for us when we come before him and we ask. And oftentimes, it's just between you, your intercessor, and God. You see, this woman, she had an intercessor. She came to Elijah. She said, this is too big for me, but I need your help. Have you ever needed help? Have you ever been in situations where it's just too big for you? It's something you can't handle on your own, and you're looking for help. You need someone to help. You can't go to anybody, but you need someone who has a relationship with God. She knew Elisha was the man of God. She knew he had power and strength. She knew that he was able to do abundantly more than anyone could ask or imagine because God was with him. And nothing was impossible because of God being with him. And that's who you need to go to. We need to be able to go to someone who has a connection with God. And that person, you can share, you can talk things through, and you can pray things through, and you can hear from God, and you can receive, and you can learn, and you can grow. And so there are times when you can't tell everybody, but you have to tell somebody, and you need an intercessor. You need someone who has a relationship with God. And that is the person that you hold on to in your life. And so in Deuteronomy 16:16, we see that it tells us this principle is so important, how it kind of lays out. It tells us three times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. And at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is during the time of Passover, and they would bring the grain offerings. And then at the Feast of Weeks, which is known as the Shavat, which means seven. Shavat means seven. And so there would be this time when they would come. And then the Feast of Booths, the Sukkot. And the Sukkot was the celebration that reminded them of how they dwelled in the wilderness, how they dwelled in booths, in tents. And so no matter what situation you're in, it's a reminder that God is a deliverer. The Passover reminds us of the fact that God delivered them from Egypt. And so there is a celebration for that. And the men were called to come before God in that place. And then during the Shavuot, during the Feast of Weeks, they would come and they would give thanks to God for giving them victory over their enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then during the feasts, the booths, that God was their provision. He was their covering. He made a way for them. These are the three things that they were to remember and celebrate and give thanks to God for. And it was the men's job to lead the house in these ways. Hallelujah. Don't you want men who can lead the house in the ways of the Lord in your life? Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. I know I do. Hallelujah. And I want to be that man. Isn't that right? Don't you want to be that man? Where are the men? Yes. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. The women were quiet because they wanted to make sure that there was some men here that would even be willing to do it, because sometimes, you just don't know. And so it says that when these men would come before the Lord, he says, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Oh, that means you bring an offering. You bring an offering unto God. And that is what we see in this story. We see this woman is being able to present an offering. In verse 17, it says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Have you been blessed of God? Yes. Hallelujah. And whenever you come before God, whenever you need God to do something, there's this exchange that takes place. There's a relationship that you have, and you don't come empty-handed. You don't come expecting God to do something when it costs you nothing. And so we come, we're bringing something to offer God. And relationships, they are built upon this principle of exchange. And as we have this exchange, we're able to grow. How many of you have relationships with people that you only come to them or interact with them when you want something? Right? When you don't even bother with them unless you want something, right? Unless you need something, right? That's not a good relationship. Is it? How many of you want people who only want to talk to you when they need something? Anybody? Any takers? You know, if you need something or you want something, you know, that's when they show up. I don't know about you, but when I see those people, I'm like, oh boy. Quick, I gotta, where can I hide? You know, I know they want something. They don't even talk to me unless they want something, right? Nobody wants a relationship. Could you imagine if that's what your relationships were like in your family, in your house? That would be terrible. We don't want relationships. In fact, that's not a relationship. That's an Amazon order. You don't want to be people who are just taking orders. You know, I'll have 2 scoops of ice cream on a sugar cone, please. And that's when that's not it, what we're about. We are building relationships, and relationships are built upon I serve you, you serve me, and we help each other. There's an exchange. There's an exchange. It's not like you get on the phone and one person does all the talking. If you get on to a conversation with somebody who does all the talking, guess what you do? Multitask. That's what you will do. You will multitask. Why? Because this person's gonna keep talking. And they'll make the same point over and over again, or they'll go on from one thing to the next, and they don't even give you a chance to say anything. And you go, and they just keep going. And so what do? You pull out your phone, you start working on something, you got your computer, or you start looking around, and you start going, hey, can you get me? Meanwhile, they're going, so there's this exchange that has to take place. And when you have a good balance of exchange, that's when we grow. That's when we're able to become more and more of the people that God has called us to be. God is looking for us to have an exchange with him. In Ecclesiastes 11, it says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. He says, divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur in the earth. In other words, we don't know what's going to happen, so we're sharing. We have relationships. We're making relationships. We're building relationships with people, with each other, because in times of trouble, you're going to need help. You're going to need someone to cry out to, and you don't want to be the person who only shows up when you need something. You want to have a relationship ahead of time. You want to demonstrate that you care and that you love other people and that you have an interest in their lives just as much as you need something when you need it. And so we divide our portions. We share what we have. Whatever we have, when God blesses us, it's not just for us. It's for us to be a blessing to others. It's for us to share with others. Verse 3 says, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it's gonna lie. And he who watches the wind will not sow. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap. If you're looking at what could go wrong all the time, then you're not going to be willing to build relationships with people. You're not going to be willing to give, to freely give as you have freely received. You're going to become selfish, and you're going to become self-concerned, and you're going to think of all the things that might happen. You know people who can only think of what might go wrong? Have you ever met people like that? You know, all they can tell you is, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if that goes wrong? And what if that, you know, and that's their, they can't even see. But don't you know that God is an infinite God? And there are more things that could go right than things that could go wrong. You and I, we have hope in the Lord. It says in verse 5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. In other words, don't worry about the storm clouds. Don't worry about the rain and the wind and all the issues and all the problems that could potentially come. Oh, it might rain. Oh, it might be a storm. Oh, it might be. Man, you will never experience the goodness of God if you're walking in fear and anxiety. God is able. Think of all that God could do. How about instead of thinking of what could go wrong, meditate on things that could go right. What if God does this? Because God can do something you haven't even thought of yet. God can come up with something. In fact, the scripture says he causes all things to work together for your good if you love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, if your life focus and purpose is to advance the kingdom of God and to fulfill the will of God, all things in life, everything you experience, God will cause it to work out favorably for you. Hallelujah. What? Come on. How awesome is that? This is what God is doing. So generosity denotes whether or not you have the blessings or if the blessings have you. Do you have the blessings or do the blessings have you? So often the things that we possess, they have us more than we have them. If you have the blessing, you're willing to release it. You can give freely. You can give it away. You can let it go. You're not worried about it. You're not concerned about it because you know it came from God. And if God gave it to you, you can give it to someone else. Why? Because you know that if you give it away, that God is going to replace it with something else. And usually it's better. Hallelujah. Usually it's better. Don't allow the blessings to own you. Allow the blessings to be a resource and a tool. Don't be bound by your possessions. Don't put yourself in debt to the place where your possessions now own you. And so now you are in a place of slavery to pay off your debts. And so in 2 Kings 4:3, he says, Elisha says, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, and do not get a few. What is he saying? He's saying, I know your neighbors. You got a good relationship with people around you. Now you have a need. Go and borrow vessels. Get as many as you can. Don't just get a few. Get as many as you can. Yes, go to the neighbors you don't even like. Go to the neighbors that don't like you. But hopefully you have enough of a relationship with your neighbors that you can get help from them. And so he sends her out. And that is something that you and I have to be able to hold on to and understand the importance of relationships. To experience divine change, we must follow God's direction even when we can't see where he's going or what he's doing. We have to have faith in God. And that means we have to be willing to go out there and engage and do whatever it is the Lord is saying to do. Here she is, and she's probably wondering, why am I borrowing pots or vessels from my neighbors? Why am I getting, what is all this? All I have is oil. I only have one vat of oil. This makes no sense. But yet, he says, go and borrow these vessels. Has God ever asked you to do something that didn't make sense to you? Yes. Hallelujah. Have you ever found yourself having to do something that it just didn't seem like it was gonna work out or that it would make sense that it would work out? But I tell you, when it comes from God, nothing is impossible. It's worth doing. And God will do things in ways that we can't understand. And so it says that in verse 4, it says, you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is what? Half full? What is just a little bit? No, but what is full. Set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she what? Poured. Oh, saints of God, you've got to be willing to pour. You've got to be willing to pour out. You've got to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to be imparted from you to someone else. Know that you're not just an empty vessel with nothing to offer. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're filled with the presence of God. You're filled with the resources of God. It might be all you have. God might be all you have. I'm reminded of that scripture says, the word of God says, he says that I have nothing in my hands. I have nothing to bring. And she came empty, only carrying her vessel of oil. There was nothing in her house. But saints of God, all you need is the Spirit of God. If you've got the Spirit of God, that is enough for everything. All the resources that you would need are in the Spirit of God. I pray that you understand the value of God's presence and the Spirit of the Lord. There is an anointing that goes along with the Spirit of God. That's why Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And not halfway, not just dipping your toe in, not just, well, you know, I praise God, you know, very casual, very laid back, but no, full, filled with God. You get up in the morning, you say, God, fill me with your Spirit today. God, give me a fresh anointing so that I can deal with what is coming at me today. God, arise that my enemies may be scattered. Lord, use me, enable me to overcome every obstacle and every hindering spirit that would come against me. God, arise. Oh, God, fill me today. And so we want to be full of oil, the oil of the Lord. And so in verse 5 says that she went in and she shut the door. She was obedient. She did exactly what the word of God was, exactly what the prophet told her to do. And we have to be careful to make sure that we're doing everything God is calling us to do, that we're applying biblical principles in your life. Read the Word of God, not just so you can say, I read the Word of God, but so you can learn the principles of God so that you can have a divine experience in life. The Word of God is not just a book that you read so you can learn religion. That's boring. And there's no fun in that. But when the book is alive, and when you begin to read the book, it kind of takes over within your spirit, and your soul and your spirit combine, and you're ignited, and you have a fire, and there is life being imparted to you. Oh my goodness, you just want to keep eating. You want to keep pouring. You want it to continually fill you. Why? Because there's life in it. There's sustenance in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you will have no life. But if you allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to ignite within you, there is a passion and a zeal, and you will have perpetual life. You will have renewing energy. God will enable you again and again and again. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of God does. He ignites us and he makes us alive. Oh my goodness. You and I have something that is of value in the house. What's in your house, saints of God? What are you full of? Are you filled with the Spirit or are you filled with something else? A whole lot of trinkets and random things. Things that you feel are valuable or important. What are you investing in? What are you filling your time with? What are you meditating on? What are you taking into your spirit, into your soul, into your very heart? What is it that's consuming you? I pray it is the oil of the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that you would be willing to pour into other vessels. Pour into other people, those who God sends your way, to be a blessing. Sometimes when God is doing a work, you have to just keep it between you, your intercessor, and God. You have to keep it. You can't tell everybody. You can't tell everybody, yes, God is in the process of blessing me. Oh, sometimes it's, shh, go in the room and close the door, lock it. And allow God to do his work. Don't allow the enemy to come in and steal what's in your house. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Oh, he wants to rob you of your life, rob you of your zeal, rob you of your effectiveness for the sake of the kingdom of God. He wants you to be intimidated and afraid. He says, look at the clouds. Oh, it's gonna rain. Oh, you have a leaky roof. Oh, what are you gonna do? Oh, it's terrible. And God says, I will be the umbrella over your house. I will be your covering. It can rain all day long. You can have all the holes in the roof that you have, but I will be your covering. The Lord will cover you. And so it's important to keep things confidential between you and the Lord and in prayer, because not everybody can handle knowing what God is doing in you. Hallelujah. When you need a miracle, this woman needed a miracle, you can't have a whole lot of people who have other ideas coming in to try to throw you off course. And you know the devil will raise people up, good, willing hearted people, people who want to help, people who want to do good. They'll show up and they'll begin to say things that rob you of the life of the oil, the essence of the oil. And instead of building your faith and trust in God, they cause you to doubt. There are some people who are called doubters. They sow doubt. And I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about people who should know better. All they do is they come in and they tell you all the problems. Have you ever known people like that? Oh, they know everything that goes wrong. They know everything that somebody didn't do right or somebody didn't say right. They know everything about what was a problem and what was an issue. And all they can see is stuff going down, down, down. They have no hope. They have no sense of God working or anything. They're just people of doom and gloom. You know people like that? And then they'll say, praise the Lord. Right? And then you go, well, which Lord are you referring to? Is it Lord Beelzebub or is it the Lord of the, you know, I don't know. Because God is a God of hope. God is a God of possibility. He can do anything. I mean, he can cause something that doesn't even exist to just appear right there. He can touch somebody's heart and somebody you don't even know, they could show up at your house. God could send the prophet of God by, and you just need to see, and it'll change everything. It'll turn everything around. God only needs to do one thing, and it will change the course of the history of your entire life. So for all the things that could go wrong, all that does is rob you of the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. It renders your oil powerless. And so God wants us to be filled. He wants us to understand the importance of filling up the vessels. She said that to her sons, bring me some more vessels. Bring me some more things to pour oil into. I need more. Are you looking for more to pour into? Are you looking for more to pour into? The blessing is in the pouring of the oil. So many times we want God to do miracles in our life, but we're not willing to pour into the vessel. You've got to be willing to pour. When you pour into the vessel, God will bring an increase. God will bring new life. God will cause all things to work out, and God will make things new. And that is what God is doing in our lives. He's giving us opportunities to invest or to pour out into others. And so when the oil stopped, then that was it. That was it. The prophet told them that as long as you keep pouring into vessels, the oil will never run out. The oil will only run out when you stop pouring. Hallelujah. Isn't that like the loaves and fishes? Remember the loaves and fishes? It was the same principle. They just kept breaking out and giving out loaves and fishes, and it just kept going, kept going. God wants to do that in your house. God can do that in your house. God can cause the resources that you have. You say, God, I only have a little bit. I only have two, like the widow's mite. I only have two. And she said, I'm going to give it all. Why was she willing to give it all? Because she knew that God was her source. And she knew that if she gave two, God was going to replenish her. God was going to supply her need according to his riches and glory. And whatever it is, she didn't know how. She didn't know in what way. But she knew that God was able. You need to have faith that God is able today. You need to know that whatever your situation is, God is able to see you through. He is able to enable you to overcome. He can cause things to work together for your good because God wants to fill all that you have. So bring it before him, saints of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated. Just bring what you have before God and let God bring an increase. Let God do a work. Let God bring new life and transform you. Verse 7 says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Ha! Saints of God, they didn't have a pension plan. They didn't have a pension plan. They didn't have any kind of savings, that retirement fund. They had nothing to fall back on. They had nothing that they could trust. The father was dead. The mother was there trying to pay off the debts to survive. And they had nothing, but God showed up. Hallelujah. But God showed up at their house. And when God shows up in your house, he's going to say, what do you have? And when God asks you, what do you have? You say, Lord, I'm bringing what I have so you can fill it. Fill it with the oil of the Lord, with the Spirit of God. It says, then she came and told the man of God. And when she told the man of God, it was a sign that she wasn't taking it for granted that she knew what to do with the oil. She didn't assume she knew what to do with the oil. She didn't say, well, I got all this oil now. Oil was a valuable commodity in those days. And she didn't just assume that the oil was for her to do whatever came to her mind with the oil. And she had a specific purpose for the oil. God did. And as a result, she said, the man of God gave me directions. He told me what to do, but he didn't tell me what to do when I ran out of oil. He didn't tell me what to do when I had filled all of my vessels. So my next step now is to go back to God and say, now I have done what you've asked. What should I do from here? How many of us go back to God after we have gotten direction from him before we take the next step? Oh, that is why we pray without ceasing, isn't it? That is why we are consistently coming before the Lord. Don't take it for granted that you know what to do. Always come back to God and say, Lord, show me, God. What would you have me to do now? What would you have me to do? I've done all that you've asked me to do. What is my next step now? I've got all of these vessels of oil, and they're all full, and I've run out of vessels to pour. But my original container, I still have. Hallelujah. I still have. And so now I just need to know what to do next. And he says, go, sell the oil. Not give it away. He said, sell the oil. You see, God is not wanting you to be broke. He wants you to be able to pay your debts. He wants you to be able to pay your bills and to be able to live. And so he says, you can live on the rest once you've paid your debts. Do you know God is concerned about your future? Don't assume the blessings, the use of the blessings. Come back to God so God can finish what he started. You and I, we need to learn how to go back to God. You might need to cover your debt, but God is concerned about your future. God is concerned about how you're going to live, how you're going to survive. God is building a testimony in your life. He's giving you a story to tell. He wants you to be the witness to the world that he's called you to be. But you can't be a witness if God doesn't do something in your life. You've got no story to tell. So God gives us a story. Job knew about it in Job 14. It says, he said, if a man dies, will he live again? He says, all the days of my struggle, how many of you have struggled? Have you struggled? Are you dealing with some challenges and difficulties and hard times? Well, Job said, I will wait until my change comes. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you need to learn how to wait until your change comes. And that's not just waiting around doing nothing. That is gathering vessels so that you can have something to pour into. So that God can use you and create an atmosphere where he can work, a place where he can work. The value of the vessel increases as the oil is being poured. And as God is pouring in and as you pour into others, God will bring an increase in your life. Don't live your life selfishly. Pour into others. Let God use you. Let God speak through you. Oh, your value will increase. Hallelujah. Oh, so many times I wonder, you know, you wonder, you pray for people and you say, oh God, and you pray for healing. And some people die. Some people actually die. And you gotta wonder, I'm like, God, why does that happen? And the Lord reminded me, I've prepared a place for them. Hallelujah. And when your oil runs out, when all the vessels run out, oh, God says, you don't know what I'm gonna do next. We can't predict what God is doing. But we do know that God has our best interest in mind. Hallelujah. And God has our best interest in mind. And everything God does is for our good. And it will be better in the end. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul says, he is a new creature. Are you a new creature? Hallelujah. Notice it doesn't say he's a new person. It says he's a new creature. Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I'm a creature now. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. That means the world, they're trying to figure you out. They're trying to, what species of person is this? What manner of man is this? What manner of woman is this? The world doesn't get it. They don't understand it. Why? Because I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah.
The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. The new is here, saints of God. The new is in you. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, don't allow the trinkets of your life to be gathering and collecting. Don't be distracted by the world and all the things that life brings, gathering. The Word of God says that we are not to be valued based on the abundance of our possessions, but we ought to be valued by the very things of the Lord. It's not about clothes. It's not about shoes. It's not about having antiques or valuable things that man made, but it's all about the oil. I pray that you're filled with the oil of the Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God is doing a new thing in your life, that he's washing over you, that he's molding you and shaping you, that he's reviving you and renewing, that every day is a new day. Your renewable energy has been ignited. It's the source that will not deplete. It will keep going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. God will give you a brand new start. It's the value of a vessel. It's not the vessel, it's what it's filled with. What are you filled with today? What's in your house today? I pray that you're filled with the oil of the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord, and you're willing to pour into the lives of the people in your own house. In your own house, pour into them. Fill them with oil. They are of great value, and you will be able to live in a way that brings glory and honor to God as a witness to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies, and these hallelujahs be more. God of mercy, hallelujah. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be more.
Well, saints of God, you are of great value. These bodies, they are nothing. They go back into the earth. But what's in the vessel? Oh, what's in us? Oh, that will go back to God. And saints of God, there is a great hope for us. There is a great future for us. God is doing a new thing. We're not just mere earth beings wandering around the planet trying to survive. But we are vessels of oil, the oil of the Lord. And you and I are filled with the very Spirit of God so that God can enable us and encounter us. Be filled, saints of God. Invest in things that are going to cause your oil levels to increase. Invest your time and your resources in things that are going to build you up and allow God to use you when you go to work. Breathe life unto people. When they see things going wrong, you show them what God is able to do. Be the witness that God has called you to be. Be the testimony that God has called you to be. God has done something in your life that gave you a brand new start, that enabled you to come alive. And I pray that you remember what God has done in your life and that you are willing to allow him to be glorified over it. Your story is not for yesterday, it's for today, and it's for tomorrow, and it's for the days to come. It's for your children and your children's children. Invest in them, speak to them, breathe life into them. Help them to see what God is doing in your own house. Help them to recognize the faithfulness of God. Help them to understand that God is with you and he will not leave you or forsake you, and that in all your ways, you're going to acknowledge him, because he continually directs our paths. He continually makes a way. And I pray that you are not ashamed today, but that you are a people who are willing to pour, pour out, pour out, pour out. Your children need you. Your coworkers need you. Your family needs you. Your neighbors need you. We need you. We need each other. So don't allow the enemy to rob you of your joy. Don't allow the enemy to render your oil wasteful. Allow it to lose its power, but allow the Spirit of the Lord to ignite life and passion into everything you do, as God does a brand new work. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we just ask, oh God, that you would manifest yourself among us. I ask, oh Lord, that you would raise us up in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Give us a fresh anointing, oh God. Lord, our faith and our trust is in you. And Lord, there beyond you, there is no other. You are the God of all gods. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Lord, we ask that you would make provision for us, that you would bless us so that we might be a blessing to others, that we would be able to survive and even overcome every strategy of the enemy, that we would be victorious as you change us from darkness to light, as you mold us from flesh to spirit, as you transform us into the image of Christ, that we would be renewed and energized by the Spirit of the Lord, that today would be a new day, tomorrow would be a new week, and the glory of the Lord would go before us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and we give you thanks, O God, and all God's people say, amen, amen, and amen.
Bursting inside.